I want tonight to look at the verse 7 and 8, because here I believe we have another portrait of the pastor set before us. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You will instantly recognize that the portrait of the pastor that we are considering tonight is taken from the family or from the home setting. The apostle here, under the inspiration of God, uses family and parental imagery to present a particular view of what the gospel minister is to be. In our text, the apostle has primarily the image of the mother in view, a nursing mother cherishing her children. In the context, he also refers to the qualities of a father that are to be found in the minister in verse 11. We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And so, referring to both parents, the apostle has this picture of a home situation in view and the parental care of a mother and father toward their children. Particularly, we want to focus upon the words of verse 7 and 8, and we'll be thinking of the picture of the nursing mother that is given to us there as being instructive of what the minister of the gospel is to be. As I thought of this, I was just impressed with a very simple thought, and yet I believe that it is one that has profound ramifications. That when you think about it, the ministry of the gospel, the role of the minister, the work of the church, is not something that is to be strange and alien to the Christian. The very fact that Paul goes into the home and into the most domestic circumstances to say, now there you have a picture of what church life should be. And here's how the minister is to act. Here's how the church is to be run. Doesn't that teach us that there is to be a profound similarity between home and church? The Church of Jesus Christ, in its public elements, is simply to be an extension of our home life. They're not two separate things. It's not like oil and water, two separate elements that never mix. But rather, the one is to be an extension of the other. The ministry of the gospel, the ministry of the pastor, the conducting of proper business and order inside the church in a visible sense, is just to be a carry-on from what happens at home. Now, of course, we need to be very careful in that, because there's a sense in which that can be applied wrongly. And many people do try to run the church the way they run their homes. But because they don't run their homes right, the church is not run right. But you see what I'm saying? I think you get my point. Our homes should be an extension, should be parallel to, should be similar to the way God says the church is to be run. I find that an interesting thing. And I trust that the Lord would even write it upon our hearts tonight and cause us to apply it even to our own home life. That our homes will be but an illustration of how God says the church is to be run. But let's come to consider this portrait of the pastor. And I want to divide what I have to say tonight into two simple parts. First of all, we're going to look at the qualities or the characteristics of the nursing mother here referred to that are to be found in the pastor, that must be found in the pastor. And then we're going to think in the second place of how those characteristics play out in a practical sense in the ministry. First of all then, let's just look at some of the characteristics and qualities that Paul has specifically in mind about the nursing mother that the pastor must display. Here is, again, we emphasize the point. Here is what the minister of the gospel is to be. Here is the standard. I need to know that. You need to know that. As I said last week, each of us have a responsibility to be what we ought to be before God. I have a responsibility in my calling as a gospel minister to be just what God says I am to be. There is a lesson from this picture then for me, many lessons. I don't want to miss them. I pray the Lord writes them upon my heart. But there are things you need to learn. You're going to answer to God someday for the fact that you sat and listened to the minister preach. You're going to have to give account. And to answer the question, did I submit myself to a scriptural ministry or not? You have to know what God requires in the pastor. But let's look at these things. In each of the characteristics that Paul focuses our minds upon in this illustration, in which the pastor is to be like the nursing mother, there is a direct parallel with what God Himself is to His people. We need to understand that at the very outset. That what Paul is thinking of here is a number of qualities that the minister must display. But in a very wonderful sense, they are qualities that are to be observed in the Lord Himself. There is a direct parallel between what He draws our attention to here and the very character of God Himself. When you think about it, every portrait of the pastor that we're going to look at, there is, in the highest sense, those portraits are all combined and come together in the Lord Himself. He is, of course, the example for us all, and particularly for the minister of the gospel. But I was thinking as I was reading about this nursing mother, I just called to mind one of the titles of the Lord Himself. And you will have heard me refer to this title before, the name El Shaddai, God Almighty. The Hebrew name is derived from two Hebrew nouns, one of which is related to the nursing mother. That's what God Almighty is to His people. He is as a mother to her child. He is everything that that child needs. He is the provider of that which the infant most has need of. And you will know perhaps that very often that name El Shaddai is given the English equivalent of not only God Almighty but God our sufficiency. And that is an attempt to bring out the link with the mother. That's what the Lord is to His people. That's what the pastor is to be to the church. But let's look specifically at these things. Even before considering the behavioral similarities between the minister and the nursing mother, it's important for us to consider the relationship that is in view here. Because Paul sets before us in verse 7 a very striking relationship. It is a mother's relationship to her child. That is the relationship that is to exist between the pastor and the congregation. Mother and child. It's also interesting just to look at the words that he uses in the verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. You don't need me to tell you that I think that Paul has the same thought in mind as he continues to speak here. And he speaks of a relationship between pastor and people that is like that that exists between a mother and the child that she has labored and travailed to bear. Now, in a sense, the congregation or that people that are linked to a pastor are a people that he labors and travails for. They have been born into the kingdom of God under his ministry. He had labored and travailed in the gospel to see them brought to the new birth. And so, in a sense, they had become his children. There is also a sense in which the pastor is one who continues to labor and to travail for those under his care. In Galatians chapter 4 and the verse 19, Paul makes a marvelous statement in relation to those Galatian believers. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. He had labored, as it were, in the sense that he had preached the gospel to them, and they had been born into the kingdom of God under his ministry and through his labors. But he still continued to travail and to labor for them in the sense that he was working and toiling to see Christ formed in them, to see an increasing and a growing likeness to the Savior, to see about their lives the evidence of grace and salvation. He was travailing for them. And this, I believe, is something that the apostle would have us to consider as he refers to the minister as one who is a nursing mother with her children. There is a special bond, there is to be a special bond between the pastor and his people. It is a bond that is as unique and as special as that which exists between a mother and the child she has labored to bear. Each of us recognize, I think, that a mother's bond with her child is a very special thing. There's nothing like it, perhaps, in any other human relationship. The mother who has labored and travailed to give birth. What a relationship that is. And that's the relationship that is to exist between the pastor and his people. But let's look again and move beyond the relationship to consider now the primary thought that is in the apostle's mind as he thinks about his ministry among these people. He says, "We were gentle among you, even as a nurse." The reference to the mother in the verse 7 as a nurse indicates, I think, the primary thought in the apostle's mind at this point, because the word indicates her role in feeding her children, nursing her children. The word literally means to nourish or to feed. That's what he has in mind. This is, I think, foremost in the picture that he is painting. Here's what the pastor is to be. He is to be one who feeds. He is to be one who nourishes the people, much as a mother nourishes and feeds her child. That is to be as big a concern for the pastor as it is for a mother and her child. I was thinking, since Paul seems to be referring here to children that are still in their infancy, perhaps even those that are just newborn, and really in terms of Paul's relationship with these people, they were just newborn believers, because Paul was only in Thessalonica for a period of at most 3 weeks. He was there for 3 Sabbath days, so the very maximum length of his stay would have been 3 weeks. So he was dealing with converts that were 3 weeks old or less. Now you transfer that, as he does, into the human realm. You take a 3 week old or less child. Feeding that child is of paramount importance. When a child gets up a little bit, missing a feed doesn't really have the same impact in their lives as it would at 3 weeks old or less. There's not the same margin for error. There's not the same room for manoeuvre. Food is more vital at that time in life than it is perhaps at any other time. There aren't the physical reserves that there might be in the body of an older child. Feeding is of paramount importance. Everything in the newborn's life revolves around feeding time. That is the most crucial time. It's literally a matter of death, life and death. That's what the pastor's role for his congregation is to be. Of primary importance is the ministry of feeding. The preacher is not one sent to entertain. There's plenty of that today. He is not sent with any other significant purpose in mind, but primarily, he is sent to feed. I know I'm mixing up my metaphors and my pictures a little bit, and we might come to this a little later in our study, but you'll know that the preacher is also spoken of as a shepherd. And let's just take for an illustration those words of the Lord to Peter. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. What was Peter's calling? Feeding. That's what it was. And in this sense, the pastor is to be a nurse. One who feeds. But let's move on to consider something else that Paul speaks of here and wants us to consider. He says, we were gentle among you, even as a nurse. Gentleness, and the word just means mildness or tenderness. Gentleness and mildness of manner are an important characteristic of the pastor. That's how he is to deal with the people. As the nurse deals with the newborn gently, tenderly, without any sudden moves, without wanting to cause unnecessary disturbance, but with care, with dexterity, with gentleness, both of manner and of word, the nurse deals with the child, the nursing mother. So the pastor is to deal with the congregation. He dealt with these people as with infants. As I've said already, they were only infants, spiritually speaking, and he dealt with them gently, tenderly, not roughly or harshly, knocking them about, not hitting them over the head verbally or abusing them, but gently, even as a nurse deals with children. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, for Paul there refers again to himself in this same kind of language. 1 Corinthians 3 in the verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now Paul has some hard things to say in this epistle. He, I'm sure, had in his mind and heart thoughts suggested to him as to how he should deal with these believers. They were sinning. They weren't living in any fashion like what they should have been. They were carnal. They weren't spiritual. And I'm sure Paul had of himself and in his own mind an idea or two of how he should speak to them and how he should have dealt with it, should deal with them, but he didn't. He deals with them firmly, but he deals with them gently. He deals with them with that firm yet tender hand as a mother deals with her children. I'm dealing with you as a babe, he says. Oh, I wish you were different. I wish you could make progress. I wish you could go on with God. But even though maybe in his own flesh he was tempted to take them by the scruff of the neck and shake them and say, won't you wake up and go on with God? He didn't. He deals with them as babes. He deals with them as children, gently and tenderly. And that's how the pastor is to deal with those under his care, dealing with the family of God, many a child of God, presents themselves as a candidate for that kind of a shake. But we're to deal with them as children. That's how the minister is to deal with these things. Gently. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, the verse 24. This, of course, is Paul's counsel to Timothy, who was a minister of the gospel, a young man, in the early days of his labours for God. 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, or forbearing, long-suffering. The idea of gentleness, holding back, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Here's how the gospel minister is to deal with those who are in the family of God. There is to be that gentle, patient teaching. And even with those who oppose themselves, who stand up against the truth, who stand up in contradiction, who stand up to oppose the ministry that Timothy is engaged in. They become an opponent. Even then, in meekness and gentleness, instruct them. Teach them. If God peradventure will give them repentance. There's no question about it. It's sin. It's sin, Paul's saying. They need to repent. It's sin what they're doing. But deal with it gently. Deal with it tenderly. Deal with it even as a nursing mother would deal with wrongdoing in her child. Even when it becomes wayward, even when it becomes awkward, and even when the perversity and the twistedness of human nature shows itself, deal with it gently. Deal with it tenderly. This, of course, is just an exhibition again of the Savior's tenderness toward us. In 2 Corinthians 10 and the verse 1, I was thinking of that description there that Paul gives of the Lord Jesus. Now, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. Did the Savior deal with opponents? Yes. Did he deal with disobedience in his disciples? Yes. Did he deal with it firmly? Yes, he dealt with it firmly. He dealt with it in a definite fashion. He rebuked sin. But there was always that mixture of meekness and gentleness. That's how the minister of the gospel is to act. Let's move on to notice another term that he uses. We were gentle, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. See the word cherisheth. Here's another facet to the character of the nurse that is to be displayed in the ministry. As a mother embraces her child. Now, let me just give you the meaning or the thought in the word. It is first of all to warm something. And then it carries with it, in a wider sense, the whole idea of working for the well-being and the health and the development and the strengthening of something. And so you can imagine, as the mother embraces her child to warm it, and as she labors and works day in and day out in order to produce an environment and circumstances and all the ingredients that are necessary to life and to health and to growth and to development, that's all wrapped up in that word cherish. That's how the minister of the gospel is to act. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the verse 15, Paul spoke of himself again in this fashion, doing everything that he could to promote the well-being spiritually and the advance and the growth and warmness of heart and of life toward the Savior. Behold, the third time, 2 Corinthians 12:14, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Doing everything in his power to see them grow, develop, mature spiritually. It was his desire to see them warm at heart toward the Lord, to have an inflamed soul. The idea of protection and preservation is also, I think, in view. Where it was his desire to keep them from harm, to cherish them. This is how the minister is to be like the nurse. One more word. It is seen here, verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, longing for them, longing for their welfare, yearning for them. He goes on to say in the verse 8, ye were dear unto us. He loved them as a mother loves her child, as the heart of a mother yearns after her little one. So the minister is to yearn for the well-being and the best spiritual interests of his people. You've often heard of a little one referred to as the pride and joy, mother's pride and joy, or a father's pride and joy. We use that kind of description of a child. Paul uses that language in this chapter, verse 20. Ye are our glory and joy. That's how the minister is to look upon his people. He is to have a heart for them that loves them and yearns for their growth and their development. That is to motivate him as singularly as that moves a mother's heart. That is to be his chief interest. But then let's come secondly, just to point out three ways in which this or these qualities of the nurse, and I want you to bear them all in mind, these qualities of the nurse, how they're worked out in a practical way in the ministry. Because the love, the gentleness, the tenderness, the devotion, the protection, the cherishing, the longing, the feeding of a nurse, wanting to see her child grow and be strong, that transfers over into the ministry, as Paul is saying here. And it transfers over in three ways. First, to be like the nurse, with all those qualities that are embedded in that term and in this picture, there must be an open, honest, and sincere presentation of the gospel of God. Paul uses that term here to describe his ministry in verse 8. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only. Here is his ministry. It was the preaching of the gospel of God. Now I want you to see in the context. You'll notice that the verse 7 begins with the word but. The picture that he has, this portrait we're looking at tonight, the nurse feeding, caring, nourishing, cherishing her child. This is in contrast to something that Paul has referred to in the previous verses. And basically what he is saying is, in verse 3 to 5, he has listed a number of things, and he says, I wasn't any of those things, but rather I was a nurse. And so we ask ourselves the question, what does it mean for the minister to be a nurse? Well, let's go back to what he says. In a negative sense, that means. To be a nurse will mean that there will not be certain things. There will be certain things missing, certain things absent, certain things that will not be seen. You look at verse 3 to 5 and you'll see a long series of negatives. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. All these are a list of negatives. Not, nor, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. For neither, there's another negative, at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor, another one, a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Here are things that were absent from his ministry. And what I'm saying is that if the minister is going to be as a nurse, there will have to be an absence of the kind of things that Paul is speaking of here. There will need to be an open, honest, sincere presentation of the unadulterated Word of God, unmixed with guile, deceit, uncleanness, not tainted in any way with a desire to please men, or tainted in any way with flattery or covetousness, but an honest presentation of the Word of God as it is. No mother who deserves the name of a mother behaves in this way toward her child. She doesn't set out to deceive. She doesn't live with guile in her heart or uncleanness or any of these things. That's not how she acts to her child. But there is a sincerity of love. There is an openness of love. There is a genuineness of care. And so it is in the gospel ministry. If I am to be in agreement with this picture, then I must bring to you in an honest, sincere, guileless, undeceitful fashion the gospel of God. That's what it means to be a nurse in a practical sense. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 1. You know the word so well. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, obviously, the thrust of the application here is a little different, although the picture you will see in many ways is similar. We have the picture of the newborn babe, and we have the newborn babe feeding. Well, that's just what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But you see what it is that makes the newborn babe grow. You see the food that they thrive upon. And here, to transfer this into Paul's picture, here is what the nurse or the pastor must provide if the babe is to grow. It's the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere there just carries with it the idea of unadulterated, the pure, untampered with, unadulterated, undiluted milk of the Word of God. This is the food of the family of the Lord. And it is this food that the pastor must serve if he is to be like the nurse. He must feed the people with the sincere milk of the Word. There is to be a setting aside of all guile, deceitfulness. You know, that kind of showmanship that's abroad today, where the minister very often is trying to be like a Hollywood star or to be some kind of personality.
Does a mother act like that toward her child? No. She is what she is. And without pretense and without all this charade and without pretending to be something that she's not, she just feeds her child. That's what the pastor is to be. Without adulterating the teaching of God's word, either thinning it down or adding in other substances that will only do harm, but giving the pure food of the word of God, he is to act as a nurse. Not substituting some man-made formula instead of the sincere milk of the word. That's what it means for a pastor to be a nurse. The preacher is closest to this portrait of the pastor, closest to the likeness that is set here before us here, when there is a serving up of the simple, nourishing food of the Word of God, just as God has prepared it. That's the first practical thing that it means for a preacher to be a nurse. Setting aside all the hypocrisy and deceit and everything that would detract from the plainness and the simplicity and the purity of God's word. Verse 4 sums it all up. Just as we were given permission by God to be put in trust with the gospel, just so we speak. That's what it is. That's what the nurse is. That's what the pastor is to be. Just as God gives it, he must give it to the people if he is to be as a nurse to her children. But then you'll see that there is a second way in which the pastor is to be as the nurse. He must display, and this comes from the context, he must display a boldness in preaching the gospel despite opposition. He was as a nurse among them, and verse 2 tells us that we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. What will a mother not face by way of opposition if the welfare of her child is at stake? We see it in nature. We see it even at times displayed among men. What will a mother not face? What challenges will she not overcome in order to bring food to her child, to act for the welfare of her little one? She will overcome those challenges in order to see her child grow and develop. Paul faced such opposition in Thessalonica. He uses the description in verse 2, much contention. He had been persecuted, imprisoned, and beaten in Philippi. And with that fresh in his mind, and probably the stripes fresh on his back, he comes to Thessalonica and again faces opposition. But undeterred, he determines to preach the gospel of God. It doesn't matter who stands in his way. There are children to be fed. There are souls to be nourished. And like a nurse, he's not going to let anything stand in the way of that little one getting food. Sometimes, you know, the mother has the opposition of the child itself to overcome when feeding time comes. Doesn't want to eat what's given. Doesn't want to feed. Ah, but mother knows best. Feeding time has come, and it's best to eat what mother provides. I know today that maybe there's a getting away from that philosophy, and because of the general decline in our society. But certainly in the picture that is here, there is to be the overcoming of every obstacle. Don't let anything stand in the way, Paul seems to be saying to the ministers of the gospel. Feed the flock. Feed the children. Doesn't matter whether there's opposition. Doesn't matter even if there is rebellion and difficulty in the child itself. Preach the word. Feed the people. There is to be persistence then in this work. This is the calling that God has given to the minister of the gospel. Feed the children. Don't let anything stand in the way. Then the final thing is this. There is to be self-sacrificing labor in order to bring God's word to them. In verse 8, like the nurse, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. And what he means there is, I had given my life for you. I was willing to die for you. I was willing to give up my life to see you grow, to see you develop, to see you fed, to see you strengthened, to see you warm at heart. Here is a very high, noble standard that has been set. Yet this is the portrait that is set before us. Again, we only have to look into the heart of a mother to know that that fierce determination that is there to do what's best for the child. And there are times when maybe even some awful sacrifices have had to be made by mothers for the welfare of their children. But they've made them out of love. This is the portrait of the pastor that is here. What a standard it is. As I've said, there is always this double application in these pictures. There's lessons for me. Things I need to learn. But I want you to know tonight, as God enables me, and as I see these pictures set before my own heart in the Word of God, I want you to know that if I set before you the plain teaching of God's Word, it's because I love you. It's because there is a desire in my heart to feed you, to see you grow. It's not to be harsh. It's not because there's a reluctance in my heart to give you things that might be exciting, and to give you things that you might in the flesh or the world might say are more interesting than the preaching of the gospel. I don't just give you those things the way some child will think about its parent, you know, that it doesn't give it chocolate morning, noon and night simply because mum's just being hard. Just being unkind. If she really loved me, she'd give me chocolate for breakfast, supper and tea and everything else. You know that's not right. And if I give you the plain fare of God's word, I do it because I know that's the way to grow. That's the only way for spiritual health. And I do it because I love you in the Lord. Paul here, referring to himself, had voluntarily set aside any right that he had to expect monetary and financial reward for his labor. He waived that right on this occasion. He would not be chargeable to any of them, but labored night and day, self-sacrificing labor for the benefit of his children. Here is what every preacher of the gospel is to be prepared to do. That where necessary, to make whatever sacrifice God commands, even to the sacrifice of life itself, the sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of energy, the sacrifice, as Paul put it, of even financial and material remuneration, in order to bring the milk of the word and the food of the gospel to the souls of his spiritual children. His motive was not the praise of men, verse 6. His motive was simply a mother's motive, to see the children grow, be strong, be healthy, to live for God. The preaching of Christ, you will see then, lies at the heart of this ministry of the nurse among her children. That's what is key to conforming to this portrait. If I am to be a pastor, a man after God's own heart, I must speak faithfully, plainly, simply the gospel of God. I have no other way to feed you. I have no other way to demonstrate my love or God's love to you. That's what I purpose to do. If you're going to grow, if your heart's going to be warm, there's no other way to grow or to be warm but to place yourself under the ministry that serves up the plain, simple, unadulterated food of God's truth. It might be that there are other ministries in this city and elsewhere that seem more attractive and seem more exciting. But on the authority of God's word, that ministry, if it differs from that which is set forth here, will never produce growth and warmth of heart in the lives of those who are under it. For the child, it's always a very exciting thing to think of a diet of cakes and cookies and pop. And you've heard the child who envies maybe the little fellow next door and he has that diet. But mother knows as well as she knows anything, that diet's all right for a while. But you'll never grow strong on cake and cookie and pop. There are ministries in a spiritual sense that are pastry shops, but they'll never produce strong Christians. They'll never produce growth. They'll never produce health. It requires the plain, simple fare of the food that a mother provides for her child, even the milk of the word, the gospel of God. That's what's required to grow. If you want a warm heart, that's all you need. You need the unadulterated teaching of this book. That's what will give you a warm heart. That's what will make you grow. And as God helps us, I will be a nurse to you. And as God helps you, you'll feed on the word.